Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. If you've ever spoken these words or thought this phrase in your mind, I'm going to get you to stand up in just a moment. So the phrase is, I can't do that. If you've ever said that or thought that, I want you to stand up right now. You know, sometimes when you think something and maybe you think, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm the only person, I want you to look around. We've got 184 people here today and 190. Does anyone want to raise 190? Thanks, Charlie. So 190 people here and we've got a bunch of the kids and leaders are now out there. But I can't do that is a thing that we've all spoken or we've all thought. Well, isn't that an amazing thing to have in common? Please take your seat. I'll give you a couple examples of that in my own life. A number of years back, Melissa and a few other people were running. And my response to that was, it's good to be fit. I'm really glad that they're doing that, but I'm not a runner. I can't do that. That was my thought. That was my thinking. So I decided, well, I'm going to have a go at this. So I started running around the block. We used to live up near Craigmuir Lake. So I started to run around the block. Well, it was more of a, it was just above a walk. And sometimes I'd walk and bits I'd jog. And anyway, so it was 2Ks, end up getting around there. But the thought of running 5 kilometres, I can't do that. I could never do that. I'm not a runner. My body just doesn't work like that. Anyway, as I started to do it, you know, as I started to run, 50 metres into the run, I'd feel all this pain. And my first reaction was, oh, this is too hard, I'm going to give up. Ever thought like that, ever felt like that? In the thing that you said you can't do, maybe it's a physical sport thing, but maybe it's something totally different. So have you ever got into something and tried something and you come up against the pain or the obstacle or the wall and you just thought, I can't do this? Anyway, the thing I had to learn was you've got to push through the pain. And as I learnt that and persevered and continued, I found that I could actually run around that block without puffing and dying and coming back with a totally red face. I began to get fitter. I remember on the morning that James and Rach got married, which is just over 6 years ago, I remember going on a run that morning. I got up early and went through a run through Gemmell Swamp, and it was like I was in the zone and I ran 5Ks and it was just like I'm heading to the Olympics. It felt so good. So around that time, I set myself a target to run 10 kilometres. And my response to that probably for the first 40 years of my life would be, I could never do that. I can't do that. Anyway, I achieved that. I ran 10 kilometres. And at the end of that, there's a young guy in here, 2-year-old, called Connor Briggs. And every time he does something, he says, I did it. I did it. So at the end of that, I said, I did it. I achieved it. Another time, there was something that I said I could never do. And that was to jump out of an aeroplane. Now, I was a plumber in my previous life. Just like our two distinguished gentlemen over here. So I would be on roofs and climb up ladders and I would be up in heights and I was never really comfortable with that. And the thought of jumping out of an aeroplane terrified me. Yet a number of years ago we had a missions fundraiser, Jump for Life, and a number of us were jumping out of an aeroplane to raise money for missions. So, but I thought I could never do that. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, what the heck? If I die, I go to heaven. So I decided I'm going to do it. But I tell you what, the night before, man, I didn't sleep much. We're going up in the plane, and Tom and James were sitting in the plane, and they're joking around, having fun, and I'm just there like all the colour had drained out of my face. I was just about to say to the pilot, can we turn around and go home? I'm not doing this. Anyway, we got to the point where you jump, where you get to the edge of the plane and you look over the edge, and I was terrified. Anyway, we jumped and free fall. You go down for a minute, free fall, with a guy attached to your back who hopefully knows what he's doing. And it's just like this experience that terrified me. And then when they pull the cord, then you sort of float down to the earth, and at the bottom you think, oh, that wasn't so bad. But they're just a couple of experiences of, I could never do this. I can't do this. And how many times in life do we think that way? I can't do this. I can't do it. I could never do that. I could never achieve that. Well, there's a guy in the Bible that basically had that same attitude, that same line of thinking. And if you want to turn to Judges chapter 6, 11 to 16, we're going to look at him. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about our thinking. We touched a little bit on this last week on Vision Sunday. And I just really felt that God had a word, particularly for people that, you know, felt like their minds were always being attacked and it was affecting their thinking, and we prayed for that. But today I just want to talk about, I suppose, more of a, from a positive perspective of how God wants us to think. So in Judges chapter 6, there was a guy called Gideon. So now we all know two Gideons. And the angel of the Lord came, and he sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joaz and Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So the Midianites were, you know, another group of people that were attacking them. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." So God had an opinion of Gideon and how he saw him. The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Now, in the NIV, this is Gideon's response. He says, pardon? Like, excuse me? Have you got the right person? He replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So Gideon, you mighty warrior. And his response was, if I'm such a mighty warrior and God's such an awesome God, why are we in this horrible situation? Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Once again, pardon, Lord? Gideon replied, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. I can't do it. I'm a nobody. I'm the weakest in my family. My clan is nobody. I can't do it. That was basically what he was saying. And the Lord come back again with, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. You know what? Those two examples that I spoke of earlier, you could look at those and think, oh, that was just something I wanted to do and I overcame it with my willpower. Well, yeah, to a certain degree, I made a decision and I persevered and I worked through. But the reality is, God is interested in every part of your life. Okay? It wasn't, I want to become rich so I can build my own empire, which would be a wrong motive. It was, the one about running was to get healthy, and the one about jumping out of a plane was to raise money for missions. So when we have motives that are godly, motives that are good, motives that line up with his will, why wouldn't he want to bless us? Why wouldn't he want to help us to achieve those things when our motives are right and pure and correct? And often our response is we just feel so inadequate. Our thinking is, I can't do it. Get somebody else. I'm not up to it. And I want you to understand that if you've ever had those sort of thoughts and those sort of feelings, that that's natural. If I asked everyone to stand up who's ever had that, probably the whole room would stand up once again. And the beauty about that is often God chooses people that feel like that, because when they say yes and he uses them and something incredible happens in God, who gets the glory? Not us, the inadequate ones that could never do it, because on our own we could never do it. That's right. We can't. But when he comes in and calls us to do something and we say, well, I feel so inadequate, I don't think I can do it, get somebody else. He says, no, I want to use you. And then when it happens, it's like, wow, God did that. He used me to do that, and he gets the glory. So right through, if your attitude is pure, often that's the ingredient that he wants. If you're available and your attitude is right, he will use you above somebody that may be more skilled, that may be more confident, that may be able to do the job better. But if their motives aren't right, what he's asking you. Amen? The Bible often speaks about the power of the mind and our thoughts. Our minds are powerful, and out of that shapes things that happen, things that we say, and the way that we act. Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that your descendants might live well. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And what we speak comes out of what we think. And then that affects our actions. So today I want to talk to you about the importance of getting your thinking right and lining it up with what God's word says and what his plan is for you. Anyone ever heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf? She wrote a book, she's an American, called Switch on Your Brain. And a quote she said was this: as we think, we change the physical nature of our brains. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. Isn't that great news? That if you've got bad thinking, toxic thinking, that you can actually make a choice to change your thinking and eradicate that toxic thinking and replace it with healthy thoughts. Have you ever tried to do that in your own strength? It can be very difficult. But when you understand that there's power in the Word of God, then that all of a sudden becomes possible. We need to understand that what we choose to think about and dwell on will affect not only what we think, but what comes out of our mouth and the actions, the way that we live. See, what goes on in here is very powerful. Romans 12, chapter 2. Do not copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Changing the way that you think changes your perspective, which changes how you act. Shelley, in a communion, referenced that the big picture definition is seeing an entire perspective on a situation. when we see God's perspective in our situation, in our lives, in the things that we face, all of a sudden you see it differently because you see it through His eyes. And when you see that, when He gives you a glimpse of that, I think that is a big part of changing our thinking, which changes how we speak, which changes how we act, which changes the situation. You know, often we think, God, just click your fingers and make this issue go away or change it or fix it or whatever. But often, I mean, He could just do a miracle, and sometimes He does that. But often it's He wants us to trust in Him and believe in Him and for us to do something that changes the situation through His name and His power. Amen? That's the way that most of the time it works. Renewing your mind, as the scripture said in Romans 12:2, is an incredible tool to change the way you think through the Word of God. I always encourage people, if you're struggling in a particular area, like anger, for example, or no self-esteem, or you know, any topic that you could think, the powerful thing is that you can go to the Word of God, or you can do a search in a concordance or on your phone or on a computer. It's so easy these days. You can just say to your phone, Google, scriptures on no confidence, and all these scriptures will come up. And I always encourage people, if there's a particular area in your life, you can change the way you think and renew your mind through the Word of God. So get a list of scriptures, and whenever those thoughts come, no confidence, you're useless, you're worthless, you can't do it, as if you could do that. Then you can fight back by having those scriptures that you've written down or typed out, read over, memorized, and you can fight back by quoting the Word of God, which is exactly what Jesus did when He was tempted. Amen? So, renewing your mind, one of the great tools in that is the Word of God. Another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What a great idea. The Word tells us that we can take captive every thought. Wow. Every thought. You need to understand that what you think on is a choice. If a thought pops into your head and it's wrong and it's from the enemy or it's some bizarre thing or it's some temptation thing, you need to understand you have a choice to take that thought captive. And if you try and do it in your own strength and because you're the man, forget it. It won't work. But if you understand that I can fight back with the Word of God, I can take that thought captive, I don't have to dwell on that, then that's how you can beat those thoughts and take every thought captive. Some of you would have heard this story before, but I think it's worth repeating. I was in the office, it was a couple of years ago, and it was just like this oppression thing came upon me. And it got to the point one day where I just had to, if I didn't get out of the office, I was going to scream. It was just weird because I'd never really had anything like that before. You know, I'd never suffered depression or things like that. And it was just this weird, totally weird thing. And it was going on for a few days. And I just had to get out of the office and go out the bush and pray and do something. And it was like nothing changed. It didn't leave. That night, there was a prayer and worship night here. And my response was, I'm not going. I'm not turning up. And Melissa said to me, you are going. I heard that joke once, how the guy said to his mother, she said, it's time to get up. Time for church. And he said, I'm not going to church. I'm not going today. And she said, you are going because you are the pastor. So Melissa said to me, "You are going." Isn't it good when you can tell each other straight? So I went that night and I walked in and I didn't want to be there. Maybe that's happened to you before. You don't want to be somewhere. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to be because you don't understand what's going on in my life and blah, blah, blah. Well, this is the best place you could be. All right? So I walked in that night and I didn't want to be here and I felt shocking. It was like this thing was just pressing down on me. So anyway, 7 o'clock, I think I went up in the balcony and prayed for a while and came down here. And throughout the night, as I chose to worship, I didn't feel like worshiping. It was the last thing I wanted to do. But as I chose and made a choice to do that, by the end of the night, I walked out a different person. That thing had lifted. It was gone. Another tool in how you think that changes everything is worship. Because it's so easy when this stuff comes on you. Oh, but I prayed and it didn't work. This thing won't leave. It's my lot in life. That's just the way it is now. Well, what a load of rubbish. Sometimes we've got to persevere. We've got to get some backbone. We've got to push through the pain. And if we just settle for the stuff that wants to take us down, drag us back, stop us from ever achieving anything, if we just settle for that and think that that's our lot in life, well, that's deception from the enemy. So I want to encourage you. Washing your mind in the Word is an incredible tool. Worship is another incredible tool. And I walked out of this place that night a totally different person. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." In the busy lives that we lead and everything that's going on, and this is a great scripture to remember, is we need to take the time to just stop, be still, spend time with God. And in that time, we can capture our thoughts. We can speak to Him. He speaks to us. And it allows us to use another incredible tool of prayer with our Savior, with our Father, with our God. So easy to be controlled by emotions, to be controlled by circumstances, to be controlled by what's going on. And that affects our thinking because of the pressures and the deadlines and the circumstances that we face. And yet, understanding that by taking time out and just spending time with Him and allowing Him to speak in the situation, it changes the perspective. It changes the way you think. And when that change happens in here, that affects what comes out of here, and then that affects our actions and the way we conduct ourselves. Amen? It's powerful. These tools are powerful. But I want to take that to the next level. We've talked about changing our thinking, aligning it with God's will for our lives. I want you to think about faith. There's a couple of other things that I never thought I would do. One was, I never thought I would go to a foreign country and preach. This wasn't on my radar. Never thought about it. Yet a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Thailand on a missions trip, my first time out of Australia, and I've done that 3 times. And I got the opportunity to preach to people of another language. And guess what? They didn't understand a word I said. That's why I had an interpreter with me. But I never thought I would do anything like that. Isn't it amazing when you just yield yourself to God, how He opens doors and He brings things into your life and He gives you opportunities that maybe you thought would never ever happen? Another thing, I didn't expect that in December last year, when I was speaking at the Carols by Candlelight in Maroopna, that I would get to share the gospel with 2,000 people. I never thought that would happen. Someone said to me once while I was speaking that there was a lady that actually said, Jesus? What's he talking about Jesus for? What on earth has Jesus got to do with Christmas? That's the society that we live in today. And I got, you know, I've done that before, and I've been there where, you know, there's all this racket going on and you feel like, is there actually anyone listening? That night, there's just like a calmness over the place. And I got to share the love of God with 2,000 people. Wow. What about you? Is there some things in your life that God has spoken to you about, that God's laid upon your heart? It's like a dream. And you thought, maybe one day I could do this. I felt like God is asking me to do this. But it hasn't happened. Well, if it hasn't happened, maybe the reason it hasn't happened is because the way you think has caused a blockage. I want to encourage you today. What is God speaking to you about personally in your life? Stuff that He's laid upon your heart. Things that, in a sense, you feel like God's calling me to do this, but it's such a big step of faith. I don't know if I could do it. Well, you know what? You can't do it in your own strength, but with Him, all things are possible. The last time I looked, that's what it said. With man, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. What's He speaking to you about? I just believe 2019, the big picture, He wants to change our perspective on the way that we think. The way that we think about our own personal lives, what's happening in our world, in our situation, in our workplace, in the sphere of influence that we have. What's He saying to you? I just pray that in a moment we're going to get the band up and we're just going to finish this service and we're going to pray. And I just want you to open up your heart. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about that requires a step of faith for you to step out this year in 2019? You know what? He's really laid some things upon my heart and the leadership of this church for us this year. We're believing for some certain things. And I want to encourage you that, particularly over this month of February, a month of prayer and fasting, encourage you to be praying and believing for this along with us, is that as a church, that we break through 300 people and go beyond that this year. That our income for the church increases and goes beyond $300,000, something that we've never ever achieved before. And that when we have our vision offering, in a bit over a month's time, that we reach a goal of 30,000 once again, which we've never achieved before. That people are added to this church, that people are saved and discipled, that God do something incredible and amazing in this church this year that really is beyond what we could do. We will play our part, and we can pray and we can fast and believe and we can do what we can do, but it's God that brings the increase, because it's not my church, it's His church. And yet we are a body, and together He chooses to use us to be His hands and His feet to achieve what He wants to do in this place. And if we're all open and yielded and available, He'll do something amazing. But if we all sit back and go, nah, I can't do that, then what's going to happen? Right? So, how we think is such a big key. And I want us to be people that allow God to change how we think, and for this whole element of faith to increase and be released in a brand new way that maybe we've never ever experienced before. Is that powerful? Band, please, would you come? Let's all stand. Bless God. Okay, I want to encourage you just to lift your hands, and I want to pray for each and every one of us here. In fact, why don't you place a hand on your head. Lord, I just pray for our minds. Lord, and often, Lord, our minds are a battlefield. It's a target of the enemy that wants to attack it. Also, we can be just thinking and dwelling on perhaps circumstances in our childhood, in our lives, that maybe, you know, we've had those words spoken over us. You know, you'll never amount to anything. You couldn't do that. And or maybe there's been things that we tried and it didn't work out, and disappointment. So that's sort of, in a sense, become a blockage. It's like, well, yeah, I've got faith, I believe, but, you know, just maybe it's just not meant to be for me. Lord, I just pray today, Lord, there be a renewing of our minds, a renewing in the way that we think. Lord, that we understand, Lord, that when you said that you have, Lord, plans and purposes for us to prosper us, not to harm us, that is real. It's not just something we read about. Lord, I pray that would be something, Lord, that would just not be a thought or something that we've read, but it would be something that would go to our heart, that would change our thinking, that would change, Lord, our perspective. And Lord, I just pray for each and every person here, Lord. We understand that the way we think is a choice. And when we line our thinking up with the Word of God and your plan and purpose for our lives, Lord, that we don't try and do things in our own strength, but Lord, we allow you to come in and to change our thinking and to use those tools, Lord, particularly of the Word, of worship, of prayer. Lord, we just pray right now as we lay our hands on our heads, on our minds, you change our thinking to line up with you. Lord, and we won't be people that say, I can't. We'll be people that say, I can. God, use me in any way you want. I can. And then later on it'll come, I did it because of him. Hallelujah. So Lord, change our thinking, change our perspective. Cause a new level of faith to arise in us this year. Lord, for the things in our personal lives, for the things in this church that we want to do this year. Because all the glory goes to you, and we want to impact this community and this region for you. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, that there's a changing and a shifting in our thinking, that we're getting a big picture, a big perspective. We're getting your perspective for our lives, for our families, for the generations to come, and for this region, this community, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless God. All right, we're going to sing a song. We're going to close our service. If you'd like prayer for anything, if you need to come into a relationship with Jesus, come out. We want to pray with you. If you need healing, if you need to respond to anything that's been said today, the front is open. Come out. We'll have people stand with you and pray with you. We're going to have a great week, amen. We're going to have a great year. All right, bless you.